From Charter Hall and Banish, this is Sustainability Further. I'm your host, Lottie DL. You're listening to Sustainability Further, a podcast by Charter Hall. One of Australia's leading property groups, Charter Hall is focused on creating innovative spaces and going further to build a better future for all.
It's not often that the environmental impact of technology companies goes under the microscope, but for tech company Canva, this is something that is part of their DNA. A carbon neutral organization with plans to have a fully decarbonized operations by 2028, they are designing a more sustainable future. In this episode, we chat with Jared Ingersoll, the sustainability lead at Canva. So thanks so much for joining us today, Jared. I wanted to first of all ask you, what does the word sustainability mean to you?
It's a big word that gets applied to everything. I think that what sustainability means is kind of trying to work out how to have our cake and eat it too. So it's that thing of how do you go about developing solutions or systems or policies that allow us to progress and enjoy the life for and all the advancements that we've made over the years, but do it in a way that is harmonious to the environment and the people around us.
Yeah, I like that because I think it's a great question. Like, I love asking that question to everybody because it means so many different things and there is no clear definition. But I think you're right. These days, it's about applying kind of to people, to the planet as well. So it's all encompassing. So one of Canva's core values is to be a force for good. So what does that mean for the way that you work and how Canva operates as a business?
Well, Canva was started, people probably know there was Mel and Cliff started Canva about 8.5, 9 years ago-ish. And they started the company with a couple of sort of clear objectives, and that was to build one of the world's most valuable companies that does the most good. And so from Canva's very inception, it was all about how does a company go about growing, demonstrating value, having a lot of impact, but not being dictated by the more traditional mindset of profit at all costs. And it's that sort of embodiment of wanting to make sure that success doesn't come at the detriment of others, but rather how do we empower and elevate and lift others out of whatever sort of challenges that they have. And that's kind of the success of Canva's product, because it's essentially a free product that enables anybody to design. So you could say that Canva doesn't really do much because most of the work is done by other people. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that Canva does to make that possible, but its true value is in helping other people design, helping other people share their stories, and everything from a simple social media post to video editing and all that sort of jazz. Being a force for good in the context of sustainability at Canva it bleeds into things such as, directly speaking to things such as our scope 3 emissions. And that is very much about in our supply chain. So in that supply chain, which makes up, 2/3 of our emissions, how do we make good procurement decisions? How, what considerations are we making to the life cycle of all the different products that we generate? And it's probably important to point out that Canva's also got a really significant print business. So we're not just a software company. We've got a bit more of a traditional bricks and mortar business. So that being a force for good is like empowering people, but also empowering those that are with us on the company's journey to make good, ethical and sustainable decisions.
I think you're right. I think it is all about those partnerships and partnering with the right people and the right organizations that are on the same journey as yourself, because I think it's so easy to have this really strong goal, but then be kind of partnering with people who don't also share that common mission. So I think that's amazing to hear. So speaking of scope 3 emissions, Canva has been carbon neutral since 2020, and you're now in your beyond net zero phase. So why is it important for Canva as a business to take this next step?
Well, I'll just clarify one thing. So the 2020 carbon neutral certification, it only included Australian operations and our global digital footprint. So Canva's really quite new in the taking direct action on climate change. that 2020 was our first little mark in the sand, because we needed to build up our internal processes and how do we measure emissions. And we took the plunge into that. Instead of trying to take over the planet, we wanted to start somewhere. So we focused on one region, with the goal to then extend that out to global operations and then out to print. What we've actually done, though, is we've actually pulled forward all of our climate targets by a couple of years. So we're now carbon neutral for our global operations as well as print. And the reason why we got to the carbon neutral, and we really wanted a race to get that sort of line in the sand, was because that's our starting point. So for us, it's not about measuring our footprint and purchasing carbon offsets, which is something that is relatively easy for any company to do. For us, it was like, well, we want to take climate change seriously and take direct action. So let's figure out what our footprint is and then work as hard as we can to not only mitigate net emissions and to reduce them as rapidly as possible, but to go beyond just looking at our footprint. The way I've always sort of looked at it is that, you know, Canva is enjoying a lot of success, but we're standing on the shoulders of giants. We didn't invent the internet and we didn't invent electricity. So those things were done before we turned up. So we're only successful because of those two things that were done before us. So we kind of need to take responsibility for that, for more than just our, you know, small 8.5 year footprint. So it's very much about acknowledging the fact that we're in a position of privilege and making sure that we are going above and beyond to repair and undo some of the damage that's come before us.
No, I think that's great, because I think this whole term of carbon neutrality or carbon neutral is almost being thrown around as much as sustainability lately. And whilst you can pay your way and you can just pay to offset, it's about kind of actually reducing your emissions, not just offsetting them as well. So I think that's something that is very exciting to hear that Canva is taking as well. So you are taking responsibility for its impact. And I think one of the examples is One Print, One Tree program, which has been running for over a year now, and it's planted over 1 million trees. What are some of Canva's other goals when it comes to sustainability?
Well, they're probably the most important one. So like the tree planting one was really awesome. Once we sort of got that system up and running, we've actually now gone and planted a tree for every print order since the beginning of print. So come November-ish, we're going to be at about 3.5 million trees, which is quite phenomenal. And I'll probably just a bit more context to the tree planting, because then that will sort of speak to some of the other stuff that we're doing. So planting a tree is good. People like the fact that that's that regeneration. But what we're really focusing on is ensuring that there's a really powerful biodiversity story there. So we're not just trying to solve one problem with a new problem, such as monoculture. We're actually going, okay, well, let's focus on regeneration. Let's focus on endangered species. Let's look at areas of biodiversity protection and helping to sort of mitigate some of the impacts of urban sprawl in some areas. And all of that ultimately translates to having a direct impact on communities and, you know, empowering some people through concepts such as agroforestry and some food stories that we're also looking at. The other things that we're doing is that we also support around, I think it's just over 200,000 not-for-profits with Canva products. So if you're a not-for-profit or an NGO or a community group, jump onto Canva and you can get access to Canva for free. So you get the whole suite of things. You don't have to pay for a subscription. And in there, we're also doing what we can to support a lot of organisations that are also taking direct action on climate change. And because there's this piece there where it doesn't matter how good Canva is with our sustainability strategy, if we're standing in it alone, which we're not, but if we're just trying to solve the problem by ourselves, nothing's ever going to change. But if we can do everything that we can to empower other people to and jump on their journey, So some of the other, so there's that whole sort of empowerment of the communities around us. We're signatories to things like the Climate Pledge and Leaders for Climate Action out of Berlin. You know, we're launching and we're continuing to publish more and more templates and assets on Canva that focus specifically on helping people take climate action. And we're also in the process of working really hard to tell really impactful stories that communicate our journey and celebrate not just our successes, but also like our failures, you know, because there are going to be some times where we are going to make mistakes. Canva's growing so rapidly, like it's mind-blowing. So anything that's growing that quickly is bound to be fraught with challenges. And so one of the things that we think is really important is that as an organization, we're kind of used to hearing people just celebrate their successes, but there are more lessons to be learned in challenges and problems. And so, yeah, we want to start looking into the space of producing playbooks, really impactful reportings on a really frequent cadence. So it's not just like once a year you get an annual report. It's actually sort of engaging with our community and the different projects that we're doing. And through that, it's just that thing of just trying to get that whole momentum and that really powerful groundswell of activity that's happening now. And just trying to make people feel that you know there is a positive direction. It's really easy, because I do it every now and then myself, to fall down the rabbit hole of despair when you're thinking of climate change. Like the, you know, the most recent IPCC report, for me, it hit me in the guts really hard, and I had a couple of really dark days, and it sort of it didn't say anything we didn't know. But it was that thing about going, far out, we're all going to die, and the world's going to catch on fire. But at the same time, I think that when you start engaging with communities and people that think about this problem in lots of different ways, you realize that we're also on the precipice of another type of tipping point. You know, we hear the term tipping point in relation to polar ice caps melting, but what we're actually seeing now is this huge groundswell of people that are really serious about climate action and are actually, you know, making the small steps to, you know, have a positive impact.
I think it's really exciting, and I think I'm kind of in a similar boat to you, whereas when you're surrounded by it and you get to hear and see all of these organizations who are making amazing changes every day, it doesn't feel as dark and gloomy. But then when you read reports like that, you do kind of go, well, what's the point of it? And then you have to kind of come back and go, no, there are hundreds of thousands of people who are working together, who are working on fighting this and are doing amazing things, and focus on those positives whilst being realistic with where we're currently at in our climate action. So yeah. On that kind of action perspective, many of our listeners work in offices. So what are some of the ways that they can actually reduce their office waste and environmental impact?
There is, I mean, this is one of the things that I love about climate change. Yes, it's all doom and gloom, if that's what you want to focus on, but it's also infinitely interesting. There are so many parts to it. Like I've yet to meet somebody that doesn't have an interest in something. Engineers get all nerdy about building stuff. You know, chefs get all nerdy about where the food comes from. So one of the things that I always sort of encourage people is to just think about the sort of stuff that really gets you going, like what fires you up. And I guarantee that there's a sustainable overlay on that. You know, the finance team loves avoiding risks. Talk to them about sort of, you know, the future of the carbon pricing in the future. So there's all these different things. And so I think that when it comes to individuals' impact, start with what gets you fired up. And I think that's really, really powerful. The specific point part to, you know, how do you avoid or reduce waste in the office? It's kind of two paths to go about it. Like one of them is don't use more than what you need. Like don't waste things. Like it's a really flippant thing to say, but it's that thing like use a keep cup. It actually does have an impact. You know, the whole plastic straw analogy, sure, 2 grams of plastic is not really going to change anything. But if you become conscious about that 2 gram of plastic, then you'll start noticing that the lid's not so good. The takeaway container, oh, maybe I'll bring in my own takeaway containers and just start to change slightly some of the habits that you have. There's things like, you know, like plastic takeaway containers. Like the only reason we use a new takeaway container every time we go down to get lunch is because that's the way we've been trained. That's just the way it was set up. So, you know, are there, just look at your own behaviors and see what sort of things that you can change without it negatively impacting your day. The other area that I'd look at is it depends where you are and how you want to sort of look at this problem. That would be something that everyone can do. But the other part that I would strongly encourage when it comes to waste, one of the best ways to reduce waste is to get really smart about what you're purchasing. So if you're buying things that are made up of lots of packaging and lots of waste, then there's no way to avoid that waste. You just, you know, you're doomed. So you're going to end up with like a lap full of packaging and freaking out about which bin it goes in. So just be conscious about what you're purchasing. And there are some really, really amazing alternatives in there. Some of the early wins at Canva when we started on this journey is that when we started, we were managing organic waste and it was about 13% of our waste streams. But now organic materials makes up more than e-waste, landfill, and all the other waste streams. So we've just made a really conscious shift from just buying anything because it looks yummy or it might be convenient to, before we buy it, what bin does it go in? Have we got a dedicated waste stream? Can we choose recyclable? Can we, you know, reuse containers? All that stuff. So it's just a bit of a shift of thinking.
Exactly. And I think what you'll often find when you make these sustainable switches to, or changes to your behavior, that it's like forming a new habit. It might be a little bit prickly and a little bit tricky at the start, but once you get going, you kind of almost forget what you used to do and you've changed that behavior. So it's almost, well, it is easier in the long term and in the future. So thank you so much for joining us today, Jared. It's been great to have you on this episode, and I'm sure that everybody is going to walk away feeling inspired and ready to take action in their office and workplace.
Yeah, and maybe one parting thought, if you can just indulge me a second, is that if you want to take direct action, just imagine an outcome a little bit outside of your grasp. Imagine, don't be scared to set yourself a goal that feels a little bit too hard. And it doesn't mean that, you know, it's not about setting yourself up for failure, but one of the things I've discovered is that we're all trying to figure out how to have an impact on a change. Sometimes in your journey, you realize that, you know, that thing that seemed really hard is actually a lot easier than what you first thought. And so if you set yourself really ambitious goals, knowing full well that if you get two-thirds of the way there, that was better than doing nothing. You know, embrace the challenge, embrace the failures. Don't be scared to sort of make mistakes, but just, you know, just get out there and you know, give it a proper nudge.
Great. Thank you so much.
This conversation is part of Charter Hall and Banisher's podcast series, Sustainability Further. This series has been designed to inspire Australians to be more environmentally responsible and to take climate action. Sustainability Further is produced by Banish. Charter Hall's purpose is to create better futures by bringing aspirations to life.